Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And Holly is not with us tonight, but she's left us a message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle.
Genie in a bottle. I know.
Yeah.
I did that on purpose.
I know you did, just to make me crazy. Dave, we are going into invasive procedures.
I hope they don't take our testicles.
They take the testes. And they put him in a jar.
Oh.
Well,
like the kid in the West Memphis 3 was accused of.
Oh, God. So we are doing number two of Spotting Dax.
Number two, yeah. We're back with Spotting Dax. It's been a while.
It has been a while. We've kind of walked around Star Trek, and then we're like, let's get back. We did do another Deep Space Nine a little bit ago.
We did.
So. But we decided we had to go back and do a little dance time.
Yeah, and we still got to do a Suffering Over Brian because it's been a really long time since we've done one.
Yeah, we've done a lot of Suffering Over Brian, so we thought we'd give some time to Dax. And the reason we want to do Spotting Dax was because Dax is an interesting character, but very vague when we look back at her. We're like...
Very vague, because we're looking at invasive procedures today, like you said. This is season 2, episode 8.
Right.
The last episode she had to herself was season 1, episode 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
An entire season apart.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, she's one of the lead
characters.
Yeah. And there's been 20-something episodes.
I know.
And she's only had, like, two... It's more. It's, like, about 30 at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's only had two episodes that were centered around her.
Yeah.
Why? You don't have that many main characters. Deep Space Nine does have a lot more main characters.
I don't know. I wonder if maybe they didn't know how to write for her, or maybe there were just too much... I think they were also, in the very beginning, they were trying to set up Bajor and the whole Cardassian menace. And
they were. One of my early criticisms of Deep Space Nine that I still kind of hold to is, like, the first two seasons are really painful and really slow. And a lot of it is because, like, some guest characters have bigger parts than some of the main characters
right.
in these early seasons, just trying to establish the lore. So much world building in Deep Space Nine, which it pays off.
Later on it does, but in the beginning...
But it's super painful, like, on your first and second and third watch. It's super painful. It does pay off, because Deep Space Nine is so beautifully done, and all the characters are so deep, and especially recurring characters like Kywin and Dukat.
Right.
All these great recurring characters, but it's just, like, some of these main characters got stepped on, and apparently she only signed a 6-year treat... Because that's why Ezri comes on for the seventh year.
Exactly. Right.
I don't understand why, because Next Gen went on 7 years. I don't know why they didn't sign them all for 7.
Yeah, and did she go on to anything else?
Yeah, she did. She went on a different show. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. So. I'm not familiar with it. If it is, I'd have to look it up. Yeah, but so we wanted to find out more about Dax and kind of just, like, spend some time getting to know her character better, because Trills are interesting. They're unique. Obviously, there's this being the symbiont. You want to have some, what should we call? You want to know the backstory about who she is and her past lives.
And what's going on. And, you know, there's more to it, but we just don't get a lot of her very often. And because she's such a, like, interesting character, but her episodes don't come, so we're just spotting Dax's, you know, every now and then, kind of like we do Suffering Over Brian's every now and then.
Right. And the cool thing about Well, I mean, the cool thing about it is that she has all those past lives that she can call on and those past memories. But a lot of times we notice that she's just treated as a science officer who just, like, rattles off facts about whatever they're up against at the moment. You know, there's neutrinos or whatever in the system, or, you know, just some crazy thing. She'll do a scan and she'll give some gobbledygook scientific answer kind of thing. So we wanted to kind of like drill down and find out more about her. So this next episode that we're doing is invasive procedures.
And what's interesting about invasive procedures, we have another original Trill.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Because the original Trill we see in Next Gen had the face things on them.
Right.
And they didn't put them on Terry Farrell because she was too pretty. But remember Odan from Next Gen, he had those like forehead things.
Right, right.
And we've got, what's her face in this episode? She's got the forehead things. She's like the OG Trill.
OG. Morel?
Maybe. So yeah, the original Morel, she looks like an original Trill. So apparently there's a dual species on the planet. They're all Trill, but you've got the forehead Trill and you get the spotted Trill.
Yeah, it's kind of different.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of cool that she's, I assume she's a Trill, because she's got the same sort of forehead as
I didn't know
Odan.
What she was, but she's strong as hell.
She is strong as hell. She, yeah. She put Kira down, which is like, oh, come on, Kira.
You're a trained fighter. Well, let's get into the episode. So this is Invasive Procedures. This is Season 2, Episode 4, and first aired October 17th, 1993. It starts off that Deep Space Nine has been evacuated because there's a plasma storm coming, sort of like a hurricane. And they just leaving the skeleton crew with Jadzia Dax and Miles O'Brien, Odo, Quark, strangely enough, and Sisko, Bashir, and Kira. So that's all you get. Basically the main actors.
The main actors. Sans Jake, thank goodness.
Yeah, Jake, they sent him away, and Rom. So during this time, they have the one of the runabouts ready just in case they have to take off, in case of emergencies, but apparently, as Kira says, or was it Kira? Yeah, Kira says that the Cardassians built this thing to last because it can take a beating for
something. Like a rock. Ooh, like a rock.
The Rock of Gibraltar.
Was it Ford? Or was it Ram?
I don't know.
I don't remember. It's an old car commercial.
Yes.
Still like a rock.
Synthaholics. Old car commercials.
That's our specialty. I don't know any other music. I just know an old car commercial song.
Yes, there you go.
Jingles.
So they're monitoring the storm coming to the station when the Deep Space Nine gets a distress call from a ship and they need to be saved.
It's from Tuvok.
So as they, it is Tuvok. So as they get, the ship is put in a tractor beam and pulled forward onto one of their docking clamps.
Oh, well, we forgot to mention that Quark was in one of the docking rings before making lots of noise and pretending to be praying about his brother.
Yeah, it was a weird scene with him praying because you don't really see him doing that anymore. Yeah.
Well, it's also his, like, he doesn't really pray. It's more like the subservience, like, his wrists together, palms kind of balled out.
Yeah,
it's just like, don't hurt me. Like it's like submissive.
Yeah, very submissive. Yeah. You see it once in a while, especially when they go to.
Or if he's at work, he's gonna get hurt.
Yes. Right. So they Odo and O'Brien find Quark up on one of the docking pylons, clamps, or whatever you want to call it.
I think he's on the ring.
Yeah, and he. You get the this panning shot where you see something's there, like something he put on the wall. So, is it a bomb? So,
what's Quark up to?
So, as I said,
killing his friends.
The ship is in distress. It's a cargo ship. They bring it in, and as they bring it in, as they open the door, they are overtaken by Klingons with disruptors. As you
and
said,
Tuvok.
And Tuvok as a Klingon.
And, Tim Russ as a Klingon. It's great.
Yeah. And then we get the introduction of two Trills, this Trill named Vrad and Morel, a former prostitute.
Hmm. OG Trill with the forehead thing was a prostitute, huh?
Yeah, I guess they get treated as a prostitute.
I guess they're the lower class Trill.
One of the Klingons is called Yeddo, too.
Yeddo. We got a friend, Bob Yeddo. I don't know if he still listens to us.
But no, but that'd be hilarious. It's like, there's your long-lost brother, Klingon brother, Yeddo.
Klingon brother, Yeddo. Yeah, he's the one who kind of helped us get into Nickel City and got me set up with doing some of those panels that I did.
That's
cool.
Yes. So
thank you, Bob, if you're listening.
If you are listening. Yeah. So it's, like you said, they come in and they're basically overtaken by these Klingons, and they are brought, they bring them up to the what do you call it? Not the bridge, the
ops.
Ops, yeah. So, mm-hmm. And they take over Deep Space Nine for...
Like four people take over six people.
Almost three and a half, really, if you want to. Yeah. Because, what's his name? Vran.
Vran doesn't do anything.
He's very, very
He's timid. Very meek and yeah. like, everything is okay.
I just want your symbiont.
I just want to take your symbiont.
So Vran is...
I just want you to put your dick inside of me and leave it there.
Leave it. Vran is the... One of the is a Trill that was a candidate to take one of the symbionts.
He flunked out though,
and they said that he didn't pass the mustard for one reason or the other. And
he's too much of a timid, boring person.
They're like, "You're too boring. Go away." And as timid as he is, and as wishy-washy as he is, he decides to take matters in his own hands and take over Deep Space Nine. I don't know if you could even plan this.
Maybe Moran did.
Maybe.
Maybe she did that while she was prostituting.
Behind every timid man is a crazy, crazy prostitute.
Who's also really good at fighting.
Extremely good at fighting. Yeah, so it's strange. We also get a scene.
She's the prostitute and the bouncer.
Yes, she's both. She takes guys out.
They don't pay up. She breaks them.
She breaks their fingers.
And their dicks.
We see this Yeto goes to Quark Bar to, and they're going to make some business transaction. And he basically says he doesn't want what he's there for, which is, I thought that was a weird thing. So obviously Quark made some kind of business transaction.
That was their way into the station. Like they were making some fake deal with Quark just to get on the station, and Quark was their in.
Yeah.
But they weren't ever really planning on doing anything with it.
Right, right. It's just weird because if you think about it,
it's very weird
that was thrown in there. It could have been maybe a shorter scene. If you think about it, could have been just like, you know, he was contacted for this or that reason. But so what we find out is that what Quark set up in that airlock is a way to neutralize the security system. So they could get on. They could dock and they could bring aboard their disruptors and basically fool them to think that
they were in need of help.
And while they were there to obviously
they were a lamb in sheep's clothing. Wolf in sheep's clothing.
So Vran explains, like I said, he was rejected from the symbiont program, and so he's there to take Jadzia's symbiont Dax as his own. And I guess
I did all the research. We've been most compatible. We both like science and dicks. Vagina.
Did I say that?
That's what I meant.
Morel, I meant vagina.
Yeah. You've got a dick too, right?
And foreheads. Big foreheads. So they're going
to... that off of my taint. It'll be great.
So he's going to have Bashir do the operation. And Bashir's like, I'll do no such thing. And
then shoots O'Brien.
He just shoots O'Brien right into the shoulder. So O'Brien does suffer, as always.
It's sort of, this doubles as O'Brien suffers.
Yeah, a little bit. And so he tends to O'Brien's wounds, then he agrees. It's funny, Jadzia is the whole time like, just do it. Just do it. Don't get anybody hurt on my account.
Two times.
Yeah.
She's just like... boring.
Just take this out, this worm out of me.
Well, she wouldn't speak up at her trial.
Yeah.
Now she's like, yeah, just take the worm. I'll die. It'll be fine.
It's fine. I didn't want to be on the show anyways.
I guess not.
Yeah, so like I said, Bashir goes to, takes them back to the infirmary where he's going to do the operation. And he puts Jadzia asleep and asking for her forgiveness. And she's like, you did everything you could. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention in the very beginning when they when they charged in from the airlock, they put Odo in a box.
Oh, yeah. They put him in a stasis container and they bring him down to sick bay. And he's like, am I supposed to care if you vaporize this box? And they're like, Odo's in it. It's like, oh, I see.
Oh, I see. Maybe I should care.
Maybe I should care now.
Yeah, so they're doing the they're getting the procedure ready, and they're going to take the symbiont Dax out of Jadzia. So that's what's happening there. At the same time, Sisko keeps on. Well, they try to have a little tussle, and this is where it doesn't go well for them.
Yeah, the prostitute puts Kira down.
And
like nobody's business.
Sisko fights the Klingon, and he does pretty good for, you know, a couple of minutes. He really was going to beat him.
He does, like, almost as good as Quark does later on in the episode, which is surprising.
Yeah. No, but he did pretty good. And but then, like you said, Morel takes out Kira, and she gets the jump on him. He's like, you know, don't make me kill any of you people. So, whatever. You know, they tried.
They tried.
Not Sisko, but O'Brien's obviously still wounded, and it's just a few of them sitting up there in ops being just babysat by everyone.
Yeah, until the procedure's done, and when he gets that symbiote put into him, he's the biggest orgasm ever.
He does.
It's
make
super
the biggest
uncomfortable.
Face.
It's super uncomfortable to watch.
Like, oh.
It's so big.
It's so big.
My butthole can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. No, I'm not gay. I'm just...
Morel, I'm not gay. And
I think she wasn't there to witness that.
Also, Sisko keeps on bringing up to Morel, saying, you know, he's not going to be the same.
He's going to be different.
He's going to be different. He's not going to be... He's going to be a...
He's going to be Craven Dick.
He's going to be the combination of both of them. So and so after the operation is a success, Varan Dax appears and he is completely changed. He's not the timid guy.
He's confident. He walks with his chest out. He doesn't limp.
And there is this great scene between Sisko and him, basically like
we're old friends now.
Yeah, like he's referring to the old Curzon and all the stuff they did with Curzon Dax. So, and then Sisko's like, you know, we're still friends. And says, but you got to go back and you got to go back to Jadzia. You know, you have to do that. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. And he says, then we're not friends anymore. It's kind of final.
Oh.
We're not friends anymore.
Hurts Varan Dax's feelings.
Yes. But Varan's confident enough now. Then he knows that it's okay.
And then he goes and sits in Sisko's chair and plays with his baseball for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. So
pretty much.
So Sisko realized that he's going to let Jadzia die. So the idea is that once the symbiote's gone, is a very likely chance that Jadzia won't live after this. So she's kaput.
Well, she's been attached to the symbiote too long.
Right. Bashir, down in the infirmary, is doing everything he can to keep her stabilized until he can figure out a way to, you know, basically get the symbiote back into her.
Yes.
So he is successful in stabilizing her for the moment.
Kira's very mad at Quark for letting all these people on.
Yeah.
And so Quark is trying to redeem himself in her eyes.
He tosses a quarter down.
It's not worth anything.
And the Klingon goes to pick it up. Is that George Washington?
Who's that?
And that's when Quark...
It's probably Red Foreman.
Yeah.
The previous...
Red Foreman. The previous...
president. Federation president.
Put a foot in your ass. President.
I will put a foot in your ass.
vote for Red Foreman.
I want someone to make a piece of Federation currency of Red Foreman.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. So he tackles the Klingon.
And the Klingon hits him, and he makes like his ear is hurt so he can go down to the infirmary.
Yeah, and
he's
screaming.
To split up.
Yeah,
the guys.
He is screaming his head off. So
bloody murder.
Pretty funny. So Bashir is like, oh, you know, it seems like a
superficial wound.
It's a superficial wound.
And Quark's like, no.
He's like, oh. And that's when he, while he's having him scan his lobe that he.
Gets a hypo
that he might have injured. Bashir goes behind the Klingon and he shoots him up for a hypo of some kind.
It's funny because he's getting the Klingon to hold the thing to Quark's ear, and Quark is faking pain, and then he pushes it in, and he's like, ah! He's like really in pain.
Yeah,
I look how it switches from fake pain to real pain.
Yeah.
And the Klingon doesn't notice a difference.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. During that time, too, up on Ops, Morel goes to Varan, and they talk about their plan for escape. Apparently, they're going to run off through the wormhole into the Delta Quadrant, Gamma Quadrant, and they're going to just run away together. And
I want to get away.
But she notices that he kind of messes up the plan, and he saying that, you know, yeah, we're gonna meet later on. Yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, sure.
I'm into dudes now.
I'm into dudes now, not prostitutes like you. So back in the infirmary, while obviously Quark is fine, they use Quark's skills to open up the box.
Odo box.
The Odo box where he's in, and he gets out of the box. Odo's out.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? It's Odo. Hi.
Just Odo's head.
And, of course, now they go back in and try to take those guys out before they can escape. There's obviously a chase ensues with Varan running for his life. And
Sisko talks.
He holds the phaser and he's like, you know, you can't stun me. You can't kill me.
You could kill Dax. And he's like,
maybe I could.
I'll do it anyway.
I'll do it. Hits the button, stuns him. And
he wakes up without the symbiote. He's like, I feel so empty.
I feel so empty. And it kind of goes there now. But Varan is now part of the Dax symbiote forever. So he has.
And it kind of ends on like a downer where Dax is like, I know everything. And he's like, I don't remember anything.
Yeah. I don't know. What'd you think about this?
We actually have Holly's thoughts on this episode, so we're going to get her thoughts first. She sent us a recording, and then we'll respond to it, and then we'll give our thoughts on the episode.
Hi, everybody. It's Holly Michelle. So, my thoughts. It's weird talking to yourself in a closet. Varad is an entitled twit. You know, this whole episode is about how he hunts down Dax's host. And while his schooling informed him that the host of the symbiont will die, he puts his desire above what is right. I mean, that's ridiculous. Your desires are not above someone's life. His whole speech about, you know, his life was leading up to accepting the symbiont, I just wanted to punch him in his dumb face. It made me so angry. You're not entitled to anything, especially if that's like their way of life. It's just absolutely. And if he's been schooled, he should know that. Mareel, who is in love with Varad, not only doesn't question his choices, but doesn't seek to educate herself on what the joining really is. She's just like, okay, I believe everything you say. No questions. And while with that description, it kind of sounds like she has no backbone, but that's not the case at all. She's simply being a follower. And unfortunately, in today's society, people aren't actually looking to educate themselves about the people they put their faith in, or for that matter, people who they refuse to support or put their faith in. So, yeah. But I am glad that Mareel ended up doing the right thing. Wasn't a terrible episode. It was neat to see the shifts of personality, where the symbiont was no longer with Jadzia, and how she was affected, because when she and Dax are joined, they're a blend of personalities. So yeah, I think there are themes in this episode that call for reflection and consideration, because we currently have a lot of Varads and Mareels running around, entitled and ignorant. I guess those are my thoughts.
Thank you so much, Holly, for sending that in, since you couldn't be with us tonight. This is an interesting take on the episode.
Yeah. Too bad Holly can't be in here, so we can't do our normal back and forth. Yeah, I agree in a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are very...
A lot of followers.
Well, a lot of followers, and a lot of people are so self-centered that they can't see anybody else.
Jamestown, anyone?
What? No, I just...
That's a whole lot of Mareels.
No, I just think there's a lot of people out there, period, that are always going to be like that. There's a lot of followers, and there's a lot of people who are out there who are just self-serving.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, obviously, like I said before, it's surprising that Varan would actually, how timid he was, would actually go through this plan.
Yeah, he needed some people and money, I guess, to hire Klingons. It was really... really weird, especially since the Klingons are so like, we're not, you know, I can't believe he was basically denounced his entire race for like being allies of the Federation. It was really funny.
They're mercenaries, so I mean, it's understandable in a way.
But it's just kind of funny that he denounced his race and called his whole race a bunch of pussies because like they're allied with the Federation. I thought that was kind of funny.
Right.
Go to Vok.
Go to Vok.
Klingon Vok.
Yeah, Varand is a strange character in this whole thing. What are your thoughts on this, too?
This episode was better than I remembered it being. I remember, like, I thought this was a terrible episode, because I just remember it just being, like, kind of boring and blah. Mm-hmm. Just with, like, the guy trying to steal a symbiont, and I didn't remember a lot of it. I just remember I thought it was going to be worse than what it was. I didn't hate the episode. It was all right. Mm-hmm. But just, like, a recap was super quick, because just not much happens in this episode. Yeah. It's pretty superficial. People break in, try to steal a symbiont. Fight ensues. They don't get the symbiont. It's pretty cut and dry.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, there's a little bit of subterfuge with Quark thinking he's going to make some money. And then
Quark doesn't get any retribution for anything that he's done.
Well, he saved the day by, like,
did he?
He started the dominoes falling. His
yeah, but without him, then nothing of this would have happened.
Also true.
So. I mean, I'm sure he's trying to make amends by being brave for once.
No fallout happened to him, though. I mean, it's all fine. Like, he did save Odo, so Odo probably saved his butt a little bit, because he did.
Wasn't there a moment where he's like, oh, he's locked up? Why, we don't have to let him out. There was, like, a little spot where he was like, you know, we could just leave him in there. Not, like, didn't say it directly, but he was like, oh, interesting. Hmm. You
know? But, I mean, he knew, so he went there and he distracted the Klingon and got Bashir to knock him out so he could save Odo.
Yeah.
So saving Odo, he might have just talked to Odo. He was like, yeah, can you get Kira off my back, please?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Kira.
Because Kira does fawn over Odo.
And Kira really wanted to take Quark out.
Quark out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a bad episode, but still, like, we get another timid Dax episode. Like, she was super timid in the trial and didn't want to say anything. So, like, both are episodes about Dax, one in season one and one in season two. We've got this strange episodes where they're about her, but she has so little agency or has anything to do with the episodes. It's so weird where an episode about you has, like, almost nothing to do with you. Or the character doesn't get to do anything.
She's two-dimensional at best.
Yeah, what about you? What are your thoughts on invasive procedures?
I like the idea of Varand, just that he's a cool idea for a bad guy for this episode. You know, like, most of the time bad guys are just over-the-top villains. Here you have this timid guy who's, you know, like, I'm just going to take your symbiote, and it'll be on our way. And then, you know, and then obviously he changed. Interesting enough, this guy, I don't remember the actor's name, but the actor, he's in Smallville. He plays Lex Luthor's father, Lionel Luthor.
That's funny.
And he's just as evil. Just, he's a super evil guy. Like, he's great as the bad guy. So, but he's in a ton of stuff, too. I looked at his IMDb page. I
mean, he's a good bad guy.
He's just in a ton of, like, he's not a lot of, like, main, like, leading roles, but a lot of, like, you know, side roles and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I like the idea of Varand, because one of his things that he was like, I can't live a life of mediocrity. What do you think about that statement? Leading a life of mediocrity.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah.
it's fascinating that he wants to be more, but at the same time, he's never going to be anything but mediocre, because he's forcibly stealing a symbiont. He's got to go into hiding. He's leaving the quadrant to go to the Gamma quadrant to start a new life there, because he can't. I mean, like, he knows he'll be chased to the end of the Alpha Quadrant.
The Gamma Quadrant, I'm sure he'd get kind of lost. Like, it's the Wild West. Anything could happen. He could get out there and, I mean, planets upon planets of solar systems.
Sure, but that's the thing. I mean, he knows he can't do anything important in the Alpha Quadrant, so I feel like he's, even with the Dax Symbiont, he's going to be leading a life of mediocrity. He's going to go out there and just do whatever. Maybe he'll be famous to other people, but it's at the same time, he's leaving Trilfar behind. If he gets lost or killed out there, the Dax symbiont dies with him. He's not considerate at all for what this symbiosis means, because, I mean, like, the Trill especially need to be around or close enough to Trill or able to get back to Trill soon enough so that when the host dies, the symbiont can move on. And that's that should be like, I mean, we don't ever get like the laws of a symbiont holder or anything, but I imagine that would be high up on the list. You need to die near other Trill so that the symbiote can live on. Well,
maybe,
like that's,
maybe
that's
make his way back at some point when he knew he was getting close to death. You know, this was when he was going to.
Maybe, but space is a cold, harsh place where you could die at any second. You know, true. it's you know, like McCoy in the reboot movies. Like, he's like, space is cold, and death and destructions will follow you no matter what. It's unpredictable. So it's just not great.
I guess I always thought, like, you know, here's a guy who is facing a life, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe he wouldn't live a life of mediocrity if he'd stop being obsessed with something he can't have. But there's something to be said. I'm not saying he's right by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not saying he's right, but there's something to be said about going out and just taking what you want to get for yourself and trying to change your fortune. Obviously, he's doing to extreme where he's willing to sacrifice Jadzia's life, you know, to get what he wants, which obviously that's, you know, unconscionable. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people do that. I mean, you look at any pretty successful person, they definitely go and step
on people to get where they are.
Get what they need to do, you know. And I'm not saying that's right either. I'm just saying that is something that's part of it. What's strange to me is how timid and you know, milquetoast he is compared to what he becomes, and that he's willing to execute all these things beforehand. Like, that he wouldn't be like, I can't do that. That's too crazy, you know?
He was just desperate enough to be able to cobble together something. Or, like I said, maybe his prostitute girlfriend was just able to, like, strong-arm people into coming up with a plan for him.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because she's definitely the muscle. I mean, as much or more so than the Klingons.
Well, I mean, the plasma storm was hugely beneficial that happened to them, that they could, you know, go to Deep Space Nine and know that Jadzia is still there. You know, she could have been evacuated.
She could have been, or Quark could have been evacuated and did not have that back way on.
Right, right.
Like, there's lots of things had to happen. Lots of coincidences had to line up perfectly for this to, like, to pan out.
I suppose. And,
why did they have to have anyone on the station? Couldn't they just, like, put it in sleep mode and, like, come back after the storm was over?
I mean, just in case this people like that did come aboard and try to take over Deep Space Nine for themselves. But, I mean, I suppose what I was going to say, I suppose they could, if the plasma storm wasn't going to happen, they could have just tried to abduct Jadzia and do it or do themselves.
Oh, that's what they tried to do in the last episode with the trial episode. They tried to just abduct her that way too.
Sure.
I mean, I guess they wanted to do something different with her, even though it's another episode where she's got no agency and no ability to do anything to help herself.
Yeah, I'm hoping we see a change in her. I don't recall, like, I noticed that she sticks up for herself, but a lot of times she's almost Vulcanish, and sometimes in her, not Vulcan, I just so passive.
She's, yeah, very, very passive. And then there's another episode later on. I'm not sure which Spotting the X episode this will be, but there's the one where she falls in love with some guy
on the planet
in the Delta Quadrant that phases out of existence for like 60 years at a time.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
she's going to give it all up. I'm going to stay.
And I'm just like, what's wrong with you?
Again,
this is the thing on the Trill list. Trill should not endanger the symbiote. That should be like the...
Maybe.
It's like high up in the, you know, the Asimov's rules for robotics. There's something like the Asimov's rules for Trill symbiont holders, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, don't endanger the symbiont needlessly.
Yeah.
Like that's ending the Dax line. It made no sense for her to fall in love with that guy and just be like, in like 15 minutes and like risk herself and the Dax symbiont for some asshole she'd known for 5 minutes.
Love does crazy things. I talking about love, Morel, her character in this is, I think she's very much in love with Varan. And even though, as Holly said, that she's a follower,
she's just willing to do anything for him.
And
because she loves him.
She's really willing to go out and do any crazy shit. Obviously that he's helped her enough that he's gained her trust and her affection. That's quite a ally to have, somebody to do that, all those crazy things for you.
Absolutely.
I was just interested, you know, what you think about her. I mean, obviously she kicked Kira's ass, which was fun to watch. But
it made me more disappointed in Kira, because she's always talking so tough, and she gets beat up by the first girl that challenges her to a fight.
Beat up by a Trill.
By an OG trail, nonetheless. OG trail,
yeah. Nothing but an OG trail, baby.
Oh, man. I mean, she's an interesting character. She's okay.
I just like, and then Cisco's she's always trying to get in her head, and she's like, I'm not going to go
and then, but Sisko does get into her head, but it's also because...
It's real. Because
he's not lying to her.
He does change.
She finally realizes he's not lying to her.
Yeah, that he is going to probably ditch her.
Yeah, in the Gamma Quadrant. And she
on some like, loves shitty him, planet.
She loves him too much to want to lose him completely, you know?
Yeah.
And she's already feeling like she's lost him because of...
The change?
The symbiont, yeah. I mean, it's... You know, she does the honorable thing by helping Sisko, helping save a life of Jadzia, and then as a side effect, it saves the person she's in love with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a nice thought.
It is. I think that was an interesting... She's an interesting side character.
So what do you think about Tuvok playing a Vulcan? I mean, playing a Klingon.
I didn't even recognize him until the truth. His makeup was so strong. Only until I read the credits, I realized it was Tim Russ. So.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I couldn't see it. I mean, it was just too much for me to pick up.
Oh yeah, I knew it was Tuvok.
You knew it right away.
Yeah, right away.
I didn't pick up on it whatsoever.
I remember noticing it, either by the credits or whatever. When I saw it last time, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and I just remembered it was Tim Russ. So.
Gotcha.
So I was like, that's Tim Russ. Because I was probably the same boat with you the last time I watched it. I just happened to remember.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah, I mean,
he's got a range of acting. You know, he's not just the boring Vulcan. I mean, he did a pretty good Klingon, I think.
No, I think Tim Russ can act, obviously. I don't know. This episode is okay. Doesn't do anything. I remember going back quite a few years. I was starting to rewatch Deep Space Nine. I never totally finished it, but I remember going through like, you know, 1, 2, and 3, and there'd be like little gleaming moments that I enjoy episodes or something at least wasn't interesting enough. And I do remember this episode being, oh, it's an interesting episode. You know, it's fun in its own right, but it's not like
it's season 2. Season 2's another rough season of Deep Space Nine. It's nothing remarkable, and it's a disservice to Dax again, just like the last episode. Yeah. It was just not great.
Not great. You're not really getting
it. I mean, some people might love this episode.
I don't see what's there to necessarily love. I know some people do like Jadzia Dax a lot, and they like her character, but I'm trying to, you know, I want to see what amazing shit that she does, you know? I've seen, I think, most of the episodes. I mean, if not all of them. Like, just been a long time for some of them. And it's hard to remember every little part, you know?
So. Oh, absolutely. Hopefully, the next couple of Dax episodes will be better. And more memorable. And hopefully, she'll get to do something awesome and not try to run away with it. I hope that's not the next one.
I think it is.
For the love of God, I hope that's not the next one.
I think it's second or third season that comes out.
So. Well, no, it's got to be later because they have the Defiant. It's got to be season 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think it's
got to be season 3 or later.
Yeah,
right. I guess it could be next season. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
It has to be one more Dax season in season 2.
I hope so. I don't have the Dax list up in front of me, and it'll be several weeks before we get back to spotting Dax.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right.
And it might even be longer, because we're going to go into Discovery mode in January.
Yeah.
And that means Discovery every week until it's over.
Get ready, people.
Discovery mode.
No.
So, like...
Late nights.
I think it starts on Thursday.
Oh, good.
So we can watch it, like, once or twice before we record about
so
it.
So we're not, like... All like
although we'll be late getting it out because we won't put it out till Monday or Tuesday, so that kind of sucks.
Maybe change things around if we have to, but whatever, we'll figure it out. I don't know. Spotting Dax, this is another kind of a disappointment. I'm hoping things get better.
I like
the idea of Jadzia Dax.
I like the idea, and I like Terry Farrell because she's really nice on the eyes.
No, she's nice on the eyes, and. I like her character when she's with the group and she
doesn't get any time to shine. These are her episodes and she's like not shown at all. Yeah. She's just like she's stoic and keeps her mouth shut all the last episode. And this one, she's just got no agency and she's just like, do it, take it, don't hurt my friends.
Yeah.
And so she's noble, I guess, but...
Yeah, but she's not fighting for herself. And... you know, like I said before, she's almost written a little bit like a Vulcan in the earlier in the seasons. You know, she's a science officer. You mm-hmm. know, she's more calculating. But then she's you know, the past person was Curzon, so was a wild man.
I feel like they don't do enough with her past.
Well, they do
self
with all the Klingons. With, you know, when she gets in with all the Klingons, that's when it gets really interesting.
Yeah, she does get more in with them.
But that's dealing with Curzon and that past.
Oh, I wonder if the next one might be the one where Curzon gets merged with Odo. I wonder if that would, we can consider that a Dax episode.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
Because that's a good one where I think that's a good episode where like Odo and Odo Dax, Odo Curzon is like drinking and having fun.
Yeah. That would be, I would say that's something to consider for sure.
Yeah.
To put a spunning Dax, because
even if it's not a Dax centric, I mean, it's got to be a Dax if it's Curzon in it, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look and see if that one's on the list.
Absolutely.
So far, the pilot was just a pilot. I mean, she's got her, you know, parts in it, and then her first two dedicated episodes have both kind of been strikes.
Pilot, Dax, and then this one,
Invasive Procedures. They've been lacking, but then again, we are in the first two seasons. It gets much better after season three. So hopefully, if the next one's in season three, hopefully it'll be a better episode.
In performance-wise, just acting alone.
It's well acted. It's well done.
Armin Sherman. He's great.
He's always great.
Yeah, he's really over the top in this. We have a great scene with Sisko and the guy who did Varan when Curzon. He's doing the whole Curzon thing. That was a great scene. Right there, just how they're joking around and thinking
they've
about
got the
times.
Yeah, they've got the that rapport, which is really
immediately
great.
Immediately, right there, yeah.
And it's a testimony to the actor who plays Varan. I don't feel like we get that as much when it's Terry Farrell playing. I don't know if Terry Farrell was a good enough actress to be.
I don't know
Dax.
Either. I don't know either.
I mean, she's good on the eyes, but I just don't know if she had the chops to be Dax.
Yeah, because he doesn't have like those, you know, like those, he hits those beats and just that punctuation of
the recognition. And the way they approach each other was, she always seems more stiff, like very Vulcan-y. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just her acting, though. Maybe she's just stiff. I don't know.
And you know, there's something to be said that, you know, Dax obviously is a joining of that of Dax and the person. So when he joins with Jadzia, maybe Jadzia is a very, you know, serious person. You know,
but she's. She's a part, like, but later on, she's like a party girl. She likes hanging with Klingons and beating heads and battle fighting and gambling.
Yeah.
She's like all sorts of trouble. But in these first couple episodes, I don't think the writers know what to do with her. I feel like Star Trek, just in general, is bad at writing female characters.
A bunch of guys.
Which is why, I think this is one of the things I said on Discovery too, which is why I'm not crazy about Michael being her being the main character. Mm-hmm. I wish they would just make it an ensemble show and just do what they do with Next Gen or DS9, just pass around all the characters get their own episode here and there. And there's no one main character. Cause I thought it was kind of BS that they were like saying that, oh, the main captain was always the main character. And I'm like, Kirk was the main character in TOS.
Sure.
But after that, it was an ensemble.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you want to be the captain because he's got the ship, you know, but
right.
But all the shows were ensemble shows.
They had interesting supporting casts all around.
It didn't always just follow one character, and right. I think it's BS that Discovery's trying to give you a main character, and then, I don't know, that's not a captain. I'm like, well, the captain was never the main character except for in TOS.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping that that changes. That's the thing, there's two things that you were talking about. So like with the Klingons, with Dax, you know, Jadzia is always calling upon memories of Curzon. So that's why she gets all kind of crazy with the Klingons, because she's pulling up all those old memories and working off that. So it's not really Jadzia. Jadzia does have a bit of a devilish kind of side of her, where she acts all like coy and, you know, she's like a little demure, and then all of a sudden she's like, but I am going to do something a little naughty or nasty to you. And like, You know, just a little tiny, little tiny things that she does. So,
but so far, her character's not been developed that way yet.
No, not yet. So we haven't seen it yet.
I'm looking forward to seeing when she starts to become the character that I more remember.
Yeah, right, right.
From
yeah,
the better seasons, me I too. Guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder when Blodo might be next. I can't remember.
I'll have to look it up. Well, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about this episode. It's just kind of there, unfortunately. And I'm sorry. I feel like we've been doing a lot of like mediocre episodes that none of us have been super excited about the last month or so.
Well, we got to
Like Event Horizon. I was really excited about Event Horizon.
Event Horizon was fun.
I know you weren't.
I didn't hate it. I watched it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't like the greatest thing I ever saw, but I don't remember loving it that much the first time I saw it. And it's been, you know, well, quite a long time since the last time I saw it.
Although
I like Cat's Paw because I just like talking about it.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah,
and that was a fun episode. And I hope
yeah, people just like what the hell?
Oh man, that was great. I really like Dave Kish said that we read his thing saying that you should listen to Event Horizon. I really enjoyed that talk with you, Holly, and Robbie. And I feel like Event Horizon's a better movie since we talked about it. Like, all the theories and the other stuff we talked about just makes it a more interesting movie now that I've thought about the stuff and we had all these interesting theories and backstories to make to flesh out the story. And to me, that's headcanon now. So that just makes Event Horizon even better. So I kind of want to watch it again
soon.
The
stuff that Robbie talked about made it more interesting, too, from Nerdynomicon. He was on, and it was interesting because he was saying that there were all the cut scenes that we never get to see because they were destroyed.
And he confirmed Holly's theory about a time loop, which I thought was interesting. And
absolutely.
And then, like, you know, then my theory about her being possessed because he was possessed tangentially to build the machine that would take them to the hell realm or whatever.
Right, right.
It just it just makes everything so much more interesting. It makes it a better movie, I think. And I love it.
Yeah.
That's what made me super excited about Event Horizon. It was different to talk about, and I think we made it better by theorizing about it.
Yeah. I think so too. I mean, it made it much more interesting than the movie watching it for me was.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, spotting Dax number two. I can't wait to see Dax turn into the Dax that we know and love, because I mean, she does get cool at some point, but yeah, not yet.
I notice a lot of the characters are kind of like two-dimensional in the early, like, first three seasons. They only start really fleshing out until season four. Even Cisco, you know, he's interesting in certain ways, but he's kind of cartoonish a little bit. And then he gets more into his role. Kira also, she's just always pissed off all the time.
Well, like, Kira doesn't get cool to like season seven.
Well, I'm just saying she gets better and better as time goes on.
But she's really good in season seven. Like, I like Kira in season seven because the last time I was rewatching it all the way through, which was like 3 years ago now, I remember getting to season seven. I'm like, wow, I like Kira now.
Yeah,
her hair's longer. She's a Captain Kira. She gets a rank. She ranks up from Major or something else. Yeah. I think she's Captain Kira or something like that.
I forgot. Yeah,
I can't remember like what the next thing after Major is. Colonel. I think it's Colonel Kira, but. So she ranks up.
She's Colonel Sanders.
Sanders,
making those chicken fried chicken.
Her hair's long, but she's got like more balls and she's less whiny in season seven. And finally, thank God, because like it's just
she has that white suit.
Yeah, I wish season seven would have like that Kira would have come up in season four or five or something. Because like 1 to 6, it's like whiny bitchy Kira.
Well, I think she gets better and better, and then like I think we've talked about this before. Kira gets like. Like better, and then like she'll revert back to the old ways, and you'll be like,
"Yeah, she'll get better."
So it's cool. It's good. There's a little charm in it for me for the first three seasons. They're in a goofy way. Like there's little things like, okay, I can see why this might get better, but there's a lot of bad storytelling and a lot of. You know, just slow plotting, like doesn't go anywhere, you know.
So that's it for Spotting Dax. But before we close, this is something we probably should have talked about in the news. Episode 200, the working theory hope right now for episode 200 is we want to do a Star Trek spoof on InfoWars via the email that we got, I think. That was that thought it would be funny. Or was it your idea? I thought it was maybe it was an email. I can't remember.
It wasn't my idea.
I think it was an email. It was an email idea that they wanted us to do like a Star Trek InfoWars.
Yeah. So we're going to do like fake news, crazy stories of conspiracy theories.
In the style of Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, who's been deplatformed. But we're going to do a maybe a clone or something version of him in the future.
And that's what we want to do for episode 200. So everyone who listens, this is like episode 100. Instead of you sending in like your thoughts, your favorite Star Trek moment, we want just give us some crazy Star Trek conspiracy theories that you've thought of, and then specify what era it's from. Because the way we're wanting to do the show is that we want to like jump through different eras of
TOS,
like Discovery/TOS. Then like, you know,
Next Gen,
and then like
or maybe movie era,
like movie era, then TNG, and then I guess TNG, DS9, and Voyager will all be the same era because they're basically the same time. Right. So maybe like
you could even do Enterprise and Discovery too, I suppose.
Well, I would say Discovery and TOS would be the same because they're only 10 years apart.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
But we'll have to do like a Klingon hair commercial for
sure.
The thing is that we need to write out scripts, and I want to reach out to the Klingon Language Institute. So if anyone is part of the Klingon Language Institute here, I'd love to hear from you because I need some stuff translated into Klingon. Mm-hmm. So we can have some Klingon fake advertisements that we want to play during the show.
Absolutely.
For episode 200.
It should be fun.
So that's the working theory that we want to do. We've set up a Google Doc and we've been talking back and forth about it. But we want to include you guys because it's our, you know, a big episode number. You know, 200's coming up. We tried to include as many of you as we could for episode 100. So that's the new way. And we'll play your clips and then we'll respond to them, your theories. And, you know, because we'll be doing it in the style of Alex Jones, we may blast you, but it's just a joke. We want our theories to be the biggest and baddest.
We just think that Alex Jones is so ridiculous that we cannot not make fun of him. So, and only way we could do that is to marry him up with some conspiracy theories in Star Trek.
Yeah, so we'll come up with some of our own too. And you know, any that you want to send to us, you can just email them to us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Or, you know, if you want a Dropbox link, maybe, or Google Drive, maybe you can just send it to us that way too. So, you know, you can always email us about it too. Let us know what's going on, or message us on the Facebook group and let us know if there's anything you want to tell us. And, you know, any theories, if you don't want to send us voice, you can just write them down and we'll read the theories.
Or we'll use it as a script, you know, or parts of it as a script that we can use as readable. So
absolutely. So that's the plan, the hope for episode 2. We've got a lot of work to do. We haven't done a whole lot on it yet, but we've been meaning to say on the show, we just keep forgetting to like let everyone else know about it. So now you know. We hope you all participate because it'd be great to get some listener participation to get you guys involved in the show so you can hear your own voice and be part of the fun of Synthaholics episode 200.
Absolutely. It should be fun. 200.
Who would have thunk?
I can't even imagine. How did it even get this far? Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, so much fun. Thank you all for listening. But let's do our outro stuff. So our music is provided by Warp 11, except for our intro. That's provided by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find at syntholics.com. That's our fancy website. And then you can also find us on Facebook. You can join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/group/syntholics. You can check out our YouTube channel, where sometimes we do cosplay videos if there's any cons I attend. And sometimes I'll do Star Trek news if I remember to. And the podcast, of course, goes up on there.
Yes.
You can check out our Twitter. Oh, like I said earlier, you can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can check out us on Twitter. The show is at Syntholic Duo. Personally, I'm David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. 5 stars would be nice. And leave a comment, a little something nice about us. That gets us seen by more people by the Apple iTunes algorithms. Also, if you can, go to Patreon/Syntholics. Give us a buck a month. Not much to ask. You know, you spend more on that on coffee and fast food on any given day. A buck a month, it just helps us keep things moving with our podcast.
If you enjoyed the show, a buck a month, you know, like if you think what we do is worth a dollar a month, you know, I mean, we work hard to bring this to you.
We do.
Every week, and getting together and talking and editing and
lots of that stuff. So. Lots of work. And finally, as we always say, if you can't do any of those things for whatever reason, we do understand. But a great way to help us is the word of mouth. It's a wonderful way to support the show. Let your friends know about us. Let's let people know that might enjoy sci-fi, Star Trek, or just podcasts in general. If they're looking for something different, point them our direction. We do appreciate that.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for coming and talking some spotting Dax.
I love it. Little Dax spotting.
Mm. She needs some pads.
Oh, no. You went there.
We spotted Dax, all right. It came right out of her tummy and went right into his kangaroo pouch. And then he jizzed all over the place. I hope he was wearing pants and didn't spray the doctor.
I'm sure he puts down pads under those pillows.
I'm like, oh. But did Bashir know they spray whenever they get the symbiont put in them?
I'm sure he read the literature.
I wonder if Jadzia squirted whenever she got it
put in. I don't know.
We didn't see the reverse surgery.
No, we didn't.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
You gotta just turn and go take the whole show into a ravine, you crazy maniac.
No one's listening by this time anyway.
Yeah, they're all like, yeah, I'm at work 20 minutes ago. Driving to work or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening.
Well, some people tune out for the thing, but sometimes, you know, maybe they don't. Maybe they like to stay for the outtakes. Who knows? And maybe they'll hear it. Or, I wonder how many people actually hear the outtakes and stuff at the end.
I don't know. I always wonder that, too.
I'd be curious to see it. Because, like, very rarely do I not have anything at the end. I almost always have something.
To that nature.
Well, it's probably in California, so I mean, it'd be worth that much anyway, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a nice house. I guess they filmed it on I forgot what episode it was. But it's like modern-looking house, you know, mostly concrete or whatever it was on the exterior. So
yeah, but if it's in California, like it's going to be just exorbitant just because it's California. There might be like $1 million tacked on because it was in Star Trek, but who knows?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because then you have Star Trek fans showing up at your door constantly. Can I take my picture at your house? Get out of here.
Or just them urinating on your lawn.
Can I urinate on your lawn?
In my Starfleet uniform?
I peed my uniform. I need to change.
Can I change in your bathroom?
Get out of here!
I won't swipe my shit all over it.
This damn Starfleet uniforms. You just keep extra Star Trek uniforms.
It'd be great if someone like who doesn't like Star Trek and doesn't know anything about it bought it.
Yeah. Did you ever see that tweet about that? What?